Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse number 9. And then I'm going to have you turn to one other verse in Romans. But if you'll find chapter 12 first and verse number 9, I'm going to read one verse here and then a couple other verses towards the end of the chapter. I'll direct you in just a minute. But if you'll turn to Romans 12, verse number 9, we'll begin there. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Remember this phrase, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now go to chapter 16 of Romans, and we'll read verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Verse number 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. Notice the warning. But yet, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And so this phrase, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us tonight. We're going to touch on some very important truths. Preacher's going to blow the trumpet a little bit here tonight and direct our attention towards some things that we need to be made aware of. And Lord, I pray that you'd take the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to our hearts, make us wiser, make us better for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to talk about the subject of evil, and I ended up with a message that goes beyond the boundaries of our time that we normally spend here on a Sunday night, and so I decided there's so much material here. What I'd like to do is preach half this message tonight, and then I'm going to preach the other half on Wednesday night, which means, of course, if you're here, then it's required that you be back here on this Wednesday night. But what I'm going to talk about is very important. We're going to talk about the subject of evil, and I'm going to name the message this: what you do need to know concerning evil. What you do need to know concerning evil. And the Bible says that we are to abhor that which is evil. The Bible also says this. Boy, this is good. I'm going to reiterate this in the introduction. Please listen to me. He said, but yet, this is God's word, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. And here's the phrase, simple concerning evil. I want to start by defining the word evil and then telling you this, that it is wise for Christians to stay simple concerning evil. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's define the word first. What's the difference between sin and being sinful or being evil? And folks, I can tell you this, I've looked at every place the word sin is found in the Bible, and I've done a word study on it. I've looked at every place you'll find the word evil. And by the way, you ought to probably do that. There is a marked difference. There's a marked difference in the way God deals with sin and deals with evil. And what does it mean, preacher? Well, if you look up that root word evil, it comes from the idea of something that is sinful and depraved. Listen to this, wicked acts that cause injury, wicked acts that are hurtful and harmful and affects the lives of others. One of the ways I explain the difference between sin and evil is this: if you go out and you sin, you're going to hurt yourself and you do sinful things. By the way, be sure your sin will find you out. I think more and more, even amongst Christians, we have this attitude where we want sin without consequence. If this Bible teaches us anything, it's this: there's always going to be built-in consequences for sin. And young people, the less sin that you do in your life, the less consequences you'll have to face. But the idea that I'm just going to keep sinning and sinning and sinning and there's no divine consequences for that is a fabrication of your imagination. It does not stand up to King James Holy Bible. Be sure your sins will find you out. But it's one thing to go out and commit sins and do foolish things that is bringing hurt into your own life. Evil is different because evil is committing sinful acts that do not just hurt you, but hurt other people. It means to cause hurtful calamity. It actually has, as part of the explanation of this word, it mentions the word diseased. It's almost like, okay, it's one thing that I've come down with this disease of sin, but I'm going to be a carrier. I'm going to go around and try to infect other people with the same sin. And a lot of times, folks, come on, you know, you're wise. You've lived long enough, most of you, you've seen this. It's one thing for someone to choose to backslide and go out and do their own thing. It's another thing for them to then begin to text other people in the church and other people that are living for the Lord and try to get them to backslide with them. Listen, if you want to backslide, that's sinful. And it's going to have consequences. And God's going to deal with it in a certain manner. But when you begin to start trying to take your disease of backsliding and become a carrier and try to infect other people, you've crossed the line. And you need to go to the book of Psalms. You need to go to the book of Proverbs. You need to study how God treats evil differently than sin. And one of the things you'll find if you'll do the word study is that God does not mince words. He will judge evil on a level that he does not judge sin. Because again, it's one thing to hurt yourself. It's another thing to purposely try to get other people out of God's will. And by the way, that's not a joke. And I know a lot of backsliders that are doing it today. And we'll talk about that as we teach down through this. Sin is what you do to bring harm to yourself. Evil is what you do to bring harm to others. Now, let me say this. There are depths of evil activity. And young people, there's depths of evil and evil activity that the average person in this church, including the guy standing behind the pulpit, we have no idea. I have no idea on purpose. I think that there's depths of evil activity that it's best to know nothing about. Okay, every perverse thing out there, you don't need to get on the internet and Google and educate yourself about. Okay, sadly, some of that evil activity that used to just remain under the surface of society and you had to go out and look for, it's bubbling to the surface of society and it's now commonly talked about and discussed. And that's one of the reasons that I've been kind of, even conservative news sources are talking about things that should not be talked about in details that we don't need to know. Okay, I can know that something's bad and wrong and evil without knowing every nuance of the levels of wickedness and the details of that wickedness. And there's things being said on the news and terminology that's being used on the news every day that they wouldn't have been allowed to even say these words that long ago. And so we've got to be careful because, again, the command is for us to stay simple concerning evil. Think about that, okay? As Christians, we're best served to remain simple when it comes to evil. Well, what's the word simple mean? Innocent. Unmixed. What does it mean, unmixed? It means there's certain things we don't need to be mingling with or mingling around. It means to on purpose, to remain uninformed, to remain ignorant of. I had a man tell me that was saved out of the depths of evil. And he said to me one day, he said, Brother Ross, if you knew some of the activities, the evil, wicked activities, and I'm not talking about what's going on in San Francisco. I'm not talking about New York City. I'm talking about this happening in Greene County, Sullivan County, and Clay County. You would not believe it. I said, I don't want to know. I know there's evil out there, okay? I know that there's sin, and it's rampant. But I don't need to know every filthy little dirty detail. And by the way, you don't need that junk in your mind either. That's why we're commanded that we ought to stay simple concerning certain things. There are things going on that you do not need to know much about. There are certain subjects. By the way, parents, I know you're trying hard, but keep after it. You've really got to work harder to protect the innocence of your children's minds. Because once again, there's things that used to never be talked about. I remember my dad saying, you know, he was in his 20s before he ever even understood that sodomy existed. And he said, I could almost take you back to the day. He said, all through my growing up years, I never heard about that. I never was told about that. Now, folks, that sin was going on in America, But people didn't talk about it. And it was under the, and he said, I can still remember in my 20s, somebody trying to explain this to me, and I'm looking at them like they have to be out of their mind. Surely nobody does that. Now think about that and where we come to now. And, you know, there's things, folks, that we do not need to know much about. There's certain subjects you should not get on the internet and study in detail. Okay? Well, I heard this phrase. I want to know what it is. Why do you want to know what it is? Do you know that it's bad? Then you know what you need to know. And you're going to get in trouble, come on now, getting on the internet and getting some of that junk in your mind that can go against you. There are some things you should choose to remain ignorant about. There was a man that sat in my office here several years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and he wanted to come in and talk to me. And he wanted to come in there. He came under the guise of wanting my counsel and wanting my help. And that happens from time to time where somebody comes under the guise of that. But really, he didn't want my opinion and he didn't want my help. He wanted to educate me. And he came into my office and he sat there with me for a while. And he began to want to tell me about some of the wickedness that's going on and the wickedness of society. And he said, you know, I don't feel, listen how subtle the devil is. He claimed to be saved. But he said, I wanted to know more about my enemy. And he said, I don't think Christians know enough about our enemy, the devil. So he said, I got online and I began to Google Satanism. I began to Google the occult. And I thought, I'm going to educate myself about the enemy. And as soon as he said that, I knew that this young man was in trouble. Right. You know, folks, everything you need to know about the devil, you don't have to Google, is in this book. And if it's not in this book, you don't need to know it. This whole idea that you're going to be better equipped to battle the devil by Googling and getting on websites about the occult. By the time I got done talking to that young man, I'm not going to sit here and say it for sure, but if you'd have been in that office, I'm not sure I wasn't talking. I was talking to a man who at minimum was demonically oppressed, may have been demonically possessed. You know why? He didn't heed this warning. That there ought to be some things you remain simple about. Now, you young people, listen to me. Everything you need to know about the devil, the Bible tells you enough about the devil that you can study it and know. And you know what? That's what you need to know. Don't go on websites and decide that you're going to start studying some things that will begin to open doors into your life, into your mind, and things that you do not need to know. Okay? By the way, anybody ever gives you, you know, get a hard time or makes fun of you for being innocent in your knowledge of evil, you just look at them and smile and say, praise God, it's on purpose. You know what? Let the heathen rage and the wicked imagine a vain thing. Say whatever you want to, but I choose to be simple in that area on purpose, and I don't want to talk to you about it. Because people that are drawn into that can be drawn into it under the guise of, I'm going to be better equipped. That's what his argument was. To fight the devil by learning more about the devil. But what was in the Bible didn't satisfy him. He wanted to know more about the depths of Satanism and the occult. And he ended up getting himself in trouble. Now, listen. We need to stay simple concerning evil. The statement I made a minute ago about what you need to know about Satan is in this book. You know what? And that's all you need to know. Well, let me say this. Even though we are to remain simple concerning evil, the Bible tells us certain things about evil that we do need to know. And if it's in the Bible, it's safe. Okay, so there's some general biblical principles about evil that me and you need to understand. And if we understand it, it's going to safeguard us against the evil that is out there. So we're going to cover some of them tonight, and then we'll cover the rest on Wednesday night, Lord willing. Number one, we already read Romans 12, verse 9. We are to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Number one, we're to hate evil. We're to hate evil. And so, folks, there's some things that we ought to just have. What, you mean hate? Yeah, hate. Amen. You know, Christians are commanded to hate some things? Yes. Yes. Amen. People that criticize us and criticize Bible-believing Christians, you know, well, come on, you're a Christian. You're supposed to love. You're supposed to love. No, there's some things that I'm supposed to hate. I'm supposed to hate. Right. Yes. The Bible tells us to hate it. We're to hate it. Right. Now, folks, we don't hate people. And I don't hate people that are involved in evil. But I hate the evil. I hate the evil. And, you know, if you've got somebody walking around and their express purpose, come on, it's not to just destroy their own life, but to try to drag people that are serving the Lord and try to go, come on, they're coming after our children, you know. I mean, come on, the Pride Parade and all the stuff that was going on, the message that was put on the news time and time again was some sodomite or some transgender person looking in the camera and folks, listen to me, boastfully saying to America, we're coming after your children and laughing about it. Excuse me, but I hate that. I hope that person gets saved. I hope they get born again. You know what? But listen to me. I hate what they're doing. I hate that they're coming after our children, and they're coming after our children in our public school system and through our public school system. You can stick your head in the sand all you want to, but I'm telling you, the days of Christians sending their kids to public schools, that should have ended decades ago. And if you still aren't awake and you're still doing it, all I can say is remember that throne that we saw, you're going to stand there one of these days. There's no way in the world I put my children under the influence of perverts. Okay, we've got teachers that are sodomites that are teaching our children. We got teachers that are teaching PE in this community that are sodomites. We've got principals, a principal, one of our public schools in this area that's an open lesbian. And I'm going to put my kids in that. You know what? You do what God tells you to do. I'll do what God tells me to do. But I'm telling you, the days of us handing our children over to that nonsense, that ship should have sailed a long time ago. And I'm not ashamed to say that I hate it. I hate evil because of the innocent people it destroys. Because how many people that were doing right aren't doing right anymore? How many people that were in church aren't in church anymore? And you know why? Because an evil act, an evil person decided they were going to go after them and try to pull them out of the will of God. I hate that. I hate it. Amen. And by the way, if you are going to obey the Bible, you need to hate it. Amen. So we're to hate evil. Number two, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take the time to go to some of these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And towards the end of 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to read a little one statement command. Once again, folks, not a suggestion, a command. If the Bible gives us a command and we disobey the command, then that's sin. Okay? God has a right to tell us what to do. What a novel concept, amen. And has every right to expect that we do it as his children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22, notice this, abstain from all appearance of evil. So we are to, number one, hate evil. I'm just giving you some Bible principles concerning evil, what we need to know about it. We don't need to know the dirty, nitty-gritty details of it, but there's some umbrella principles we need to know. Number one, I've already made up my mind, I hate it. So if it's evil, Jerry Ross is against it. I'm not just against it, I hate it, I abhor it. That's a strong word. Number two, as a Christian, I need to avoid the appearance of evil, even the appearance of it. What does that mean? Make sure that as you carry out the work of God, that you are always mindful of how what you are doing might appear to others. Right. Romans 14:16 says this, let not your good be evil spoken of. You could be out there doing something that's good and doing something that's right. But if you're not careful about the appearance of it, some people may see you doing it and think that you are involved in evil when you are honestly involved in good. Well, again, let me give an illustration. Maybe it'll help you. You know, we have a lot of visitors come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pass out visitors cards on Sunday morning. And you know what? If it's a man that's visiting Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'll go follow up on him and visit him. Sometimes I'll go by myself. If it's a couple that's visited Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'll go visit them. And you know what? Most of the time, I go by myself. If a lady fills out a visitor's card at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? I don't go visit her by myself. I always take my wife to go follow up on her. You say, why? Just because of the appearance of it. But preacher, you'd be doing a good thing. Here you are following up on a visitor. Here you are wanting to spend some time encouraging them to continue church attendance. You're going to their house to talk to them about the Lord and to make sure that they've received Christ as their Savior. Yeah, those are all good things. But folks, listen to me. We can't just be ignorant, come on, of the way things appear and could appear. So I'm knocking on the door of a house, and this is going to shock you because, you know, no one's going to believe that this happens in small town America. But you know what? People peek out their windows. Some people have nothing better to do than to watch the neighborhood. And you know what? They jump to conclusions. And there's these things called cell phones, and they get on them, and or they text. And I've seen the preach. You know, a lot of times when you go by somebody, you don't catch them the first time. That's another shocking thing. Amen. I know, you know, but you don't. And so next thing you know, I've got somebody in the community texting. Well, that Baptist preacher down in Jaysville, three different times, he's been over here knocking on this woman's door. And you know what? What am I doing? Something good. But wait a minute. I did it in such a way. Come on, you need to be aware, bus captains. You need to use some sense, bus captains. Well, it's not going to matter, and I'm strong enough, and I... No, listen. You know how many people said that, and they're messed up now, and they're in sin now? Listen, you even have to be wise on how you're doing your bus visitation because of this, okay? And so, you know, that's an example of what this verse is talking about, abstain from the appearance of evil. Folks, listen, we do a lot of good in the community, and we spend a lot of time out there trying to do good, but at the same time, we've got to be careful on how it looks. So we are to hate evil, and we are to avoid the appearance of evil. Now look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me give you this one, and I think we'll stop here after this one, and then we'll have our baptismal service and let you go. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this is an important one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. I want to stay simple concerning evil, except what the Bible has to say about evil. I want to stay simple concerning the devil, except what the Bible says about the devil. And so even though we ought to be simple concerning evil, if the Bible is trying to teach us something about it, we better pay attention. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Oh, listen, folks, we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. Okay, young man sitting in my office, demonically oppressed or possessed. Why? Because he deceived himself into thinking that something bad was good and something he was doing was going to turn out good, and it turned out very wrong in his life. By the way, he's never got back on track. He's one of the scariest individuals I run into from time to time and carry on a conversation with. His mind is messed up. You think you're going to dabble with evil and you're not going to come unscathed? I mean, I pray for him. I do. I mean, he's one of the few guys I've ever set in my office and was glad that I had a gun in the drawer. Okay, you think the devil, listen, all this stuff that's going on in the country, what possesses somebody just walk in a mall with an AR and just start mowing down people and killing children, walking into churches and killing little children? Listen, folks, that's demonic. That's way beyond even the depths of human depravity. The devil has to be involved in that kind of activity. And that's why you don't dabble with it. You don't mess with it. Okay, whatever the Bible teaches you about the devil, that's what you need to know. I know I've said it a bunch of times, but I'm going to say it again. And whatever the devil tells you about evil, that's enough to know, but what the devil says about it, you need to know. Now look, if you will, in verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now think about that. Evil communications. For years, I heard my dad preach on this verse and other preachers in the 70s and the 80s before we had cell phones, and I thought, what an odd word for God to preserve in his word, this idea of communications. Why didn't he just say evil words or evil conversations or evil lifestyles? But God chose to preserve in the King James Holy Bible the word communication. Boy, it resonates more with us now than it did, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Because, folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's more evil happening on these things right here than any other thing in America. And young people, this is what I want you to listen. By the way, this isn't just young people. I've watched Christians that have been saved for 20, 30 years begin to allow evil communications to come into their life and watched it corrupt good manners. That word manners is talking about the conversation of life, the habits of life. And you know what? You can go from being a faithful church member, come on, and a separated Bible-believing Christian to out of church, into things you thought you'd never be a part of. And what got you was evil communications. There are those who are not just involved in a sinful life that is hurting themselves, come on, but they are actively trying to lure others into the same sinful lifestyle. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 2. Let's spend a few minutes on this. We have got to blow the trumpet on this. Folks, we shouldn't be simple concerning this part of how evil works. But folks, some of the most dangerous people in the world are used to be Christians, used to be church members, used to be Sunday school teachers, used to be bus captains. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 2, and if you don't agree with me, then look at the Word of God and realize you're not disagreeing with me. What the preacher's saying is based on the Holy Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 2, if you will, notice verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and that's what we're trying to do tonight. I'm trying to get you to open your heart and let wisdom, the wisdom of God's word, enter into thine heart. Then the Bible goes on to say, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, what's going to be the result? Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. So the more you get into the word of God and let the wisdom of the Bible teach you some things like we're trying to teach you tonight. By the way, everything I've said, we've turned and looked to Scripture too, okay? We're trying to give you the wisdom of God and the understanding of the Scriptures to protect you and your family from evil influences, okay? Discretion's important. And people that are affected and allow themselves to be involved in evil communications, listen to me, you lack discretion. You need to really open your heart tonight and let wisdom enter into your heart and allow God to open up your understanding in this area of your life. Okay? Discretion shall do what? Preserve thee. Understanding shall what? Keep thee. And so I want to study the Bible and I want to understand a principle like evil communications corrupt good manners, and I want to gain wisdom from that. And what will that wisdom do? It will preserve me. It will give me discretion that will preserve me. It will give me some understanding. Listen, that will protect me, okay? Keep me. Now, it goes on to explain why this is important. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the... By the way, there's two different people that are mentioned here that are people that we need to be aware of. To deliver thee from the way of the... This is the first one, evil man. We're talking about evil tonight. This is not a person that's going out and being involved in sin and just trying to destroy their own life. This is a person that not only is living a life of sin, but is determined to try to drag other people into that same lifestyle. They're using their influence, and listen to me, they're using communications. Okay? Parents, you need to be alert. If my dad wanted to isolate me from the wrong crowd, you know what? He just chewed me out, punished me, and sent me to my room. You know what I did in my room? Sat and looked at the walls. There was nothing else to do in my room. You know what kids do when they go in their room now? Because of foolish parents that are handing cell phones to kids 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, where they are in no way equipped to handle that. They're more than happy to go in their room. Matter of fact, you can't get them out of their room. They spend more time on their devices than they do talking to their own family. But you know what? The devil, come on, he's the prince and power of the air. Of the air. Okay? Better be aware. That's his domain. But it's not just young people that the devil's after. Think about this. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, look at this. Here's the evil man. All right, let's see the description so we know how to spot him. From the man that speaketh froward things. Oh, they're the ones that like to be irreverent, blasphemous, say things about God and the church and about your parents and your preacher. Okay? Got a froward mouth, froward words. Listen, watch verse number 13. Who leave the paths of what? Well, wait, stop, time out. We're talking about an evil man here, an evil man. But there was a time, according to the Bible, where he walked in the paths of uprightness. And he made a decision at some point to leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of what? Darkness. And not only that, watch his attitude in verse 14. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. Now, one of the things you're going to have to understand, folks, is if people backslide, we pray for them. Okay, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Well, I'm just going to go help. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Well, I'm staying friends with them on Facebook because I'm trying to reach them. Well, are you reaching them or are they reaching you? And one of the things we have to understand is we can love people and pray for people and understand that communications, continued communications with them when they are non-repentant, and not only non-repentant, brash and bold in their sinfulness and in their backsliding, that is not a mark of a loving Christian. That's a mark of a disobedient Christian. Come on, and a foolish Christian. Okay? You can love them and you can pray for them, but that doesn't mean you ought to be friends with them on Facebook, or you ought to be communicating with them, or you ought to be entertaining what they're sending out over the airwaves. Okay? And so, according to this, the evil man used to walk in the paths of uprightness. And so when people turn their back on God and they go out into the world, and next thing you know, they're involved in this and they're involved in this. And not only are they involved in sin, but folks used to get involved in sin and at least try to hide it, be a little ashamed of it. Now they're taking pictures and posting it on Facebook and bragging about it. And come on, drinking alcohol and immodesty in their dress and bragging about the fact they don't attend church and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Listen, if you allow that communication to continue to come into your life, or come on, mom and dad, or the life of your children, it's a dangerous thing. And the Bible promises it will corrupt right behavior or right lifestyles. Right. I can't control what you do, but I can sit up here and blow the trumpet and beg you to listen to the word of God. I'm tired of watching good, come on, faithful Christians that are serving the Lord, living a separated Christian life, be influenced by a bunch of backsliders. Simply because you will not accept what the Bible says about evil communications. Somehow we get it in our mind through our pride that we're the exception, we can handle it. That's what they thought when people were communicating to them, and where are they now? And so we got to be careful. Verse number 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. Now, wait a minute, that's the first person, the evil man. Look at verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. I'd underline in verse 12, the evil man. I would underline in verse 16, the strange woman. And so sometimes it's men that become evil, and sometimes it's women who become strange. Okay? And that word strange, if you look at it, just means unnatural. And if you study the Bible and what a woman's supposed to be and how she's supposed to conduct herself and how God made her and why he made her, they tend to go in a completely opposite direction, which makes them not natural but unnatural in their attitude, in their behavior, in their lifestyle, in their immodesty, in their morals. Okay? So let's learn a little bit about her. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know what? When they communicate with you, they always start with flattery. Right. Yep. Come on, you got to be wise. They're not going to come out of the gates saying, hey, why don't you sneak out of your window at night and meet me down, you know, at the bar. You know what they're going to do? You know, I'm going through kind of a tough time right now, and I've always admired you and your Christian walk. And I just feel like if I had somebody to kind of communicate with, it could be a help to me. And you know what you should text back? I think that'd be a wonderful thing. I'll see you in church on Sunday, and we'll talk after church. Now you're going to find out real quick whether they really want help or they don't. They use flattery. The next thing you know, they're gushing on you and talking about you and using religious terminology. They know the Christian lingo. How do you know that they know the Christian lingo? Okay, well, let's keep reading. Verse 17, which forsaketh who? The guide of her youth. Now notice this, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So at one time, folks, God was the guide of her youth. At one time, she made covenants with God. You know, we didn't have testimonies tonight from our young people. It's because we had a number of things. I'm not against teen testimonies. We've done them in the past. But folks, can I tell you, we can do 50 years of rewind if we have had it on video. And I can sit here and have you watch teen testimonies of kids that went to conferences and went to camp, came back home, walked up here, stood in front of a church, and told about the decisions that they made for the Lord. And by the way, if you went and found them now, they've turned their back on the covenants that they made with God. And if they'll turn their back on the covenant they made with God, why do you think they're a good influence in your life? I'm just going to kind of say this to you. I'm not saying we'll never do teen testimonies again. I like to hear them. And I think there's an encouragement about it. But can I just say this as a preacher? I really don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. Amen. The best testimony you can give is not words behind a pulpit on a Sunday night. It's a life lived out, living out those decisions that you said you made. Hey, still be in church in 10 years and 15 years and 20 years. Still be true to God and true to the Bible. You know what? Then I'll applaud your testimony. But I'm sorry. I've been doing this a long time. I don't know why I keep saying this, but I didn't fall off the turnip truck. I drove it in the parking lot. This isn't my first rodeo. You know what? I've worked with young people a long time, and I've watched young people walk up here and give testimonies of what God's done for them. And by the way, they are still living out those decisions, and they are still serving the Lord, and you can if you will. Well, what about the ones that were just as sincere in their decisions? They weren't faking it. At that time, they meant it with all their heart. Let me tell you to a one what happened. Evil communications corrupted good manners. Okay? I need some adults to delete some things and some context and block some people that's having influence on your heart and your mind. And I can't do it for you, and I'm not supposed to do it for you. I'm supposed to obey the Bible, and you're supposed to obey the Bible. This isn't what pastor thinks. This is what God says. And there's nobody in here, pew or pulpit, that's an exception to this. Years ago, we had a table up here, and we had somebody stand on the table. And we said, here's a guy down here, and here's a man standing on the table, and I want you to lock hands. And they locked hands. Now, I told the guy on the table, I want you to try to pull him up onto the table. And I said to the guy down here, while he's trying to pull you up, I want you to try to pull him off the table. I don't care what size the guys were. Let me tell you who always wins. And this idea that you're going to hang around, come on, a bunch of backsliders, and they're slick in their thoughts. I've been given by people in this church some of the things they're posting on Facebook, and I've read them. They're strange women that are going after the ladies in this church, and they're trying to build a friendship with you, and they try to reach out to you, and they'll say things like, well, you know, I just feel like that, you know, too many people have just tried to divide us over some things we might not agree on, and we need to set those things aside and realize that, you know, that's not right. There's a lot of things we do agree on, and we can be friends, and it's amazing how slick they are while they are pulling you off the table. Okay? Do you have discretion? Are you in the Word of God enough to get the wisdom and the understanding that's going to give you discretion to protect you and to keep you? Because if you are, you'll spot that in a heartbeat for what it is, and you'll cut that thing off. If you don't have discretion, come on, if you're simple in this area of your life, You're going as the sheep to the slaughter. Now, you can leave here tonight, and the one thing you won't be able to claim is simplicity that you don't know because the preacher's telling you. And I'm doing exactly what every good pastor in America needs to do, and that's get up and open the Word of God and blow the trumpet of warning, because the devil is slick in what he does. And I'm sorry, that's just not a backslider and a sinner that's hurting themselves. When they start reaching back into the church and try to drag other people into a worldly lifestyle and have them turn their back on serving God, you know, that person that you've got such an admiration for and your friends, have they won a soul to Christ in the last 10 years? They will rejoice more over getting a Christian out of church or a Christian to backslide or a Christian to start, lady, to start dressing immodestly. They'll rejoice more over that than they would a soul being saved. It's true. It's like, we won, we got another one. And behind your back, they're mocking you for your simplicity. We've got to be wiser than that. So here we are, this strange woman, verse 14, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Well, where does that take you? Hey, young ladies, where does that take you? For her house inclineth unto death. Go ahead and go sit with her in her house and drink coffee. Let me tell you what happens in her house. It inclines people to death. How about this? And her paths unto the dead. Go ahead and follow her down her path. Where are you going to end up? Listen, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now, how can I read that as a preacher, not get up here and blow the trumpet and say, please have the discernment, discretion to understand that part of the one of the things we need to learn about evil is that evil communicates, uses communication to try to accomplish its will. And so, what do we need to know concerning evil? Let's review and we'll wrap it up. We are to hate evil. Okay? I don't hate the person, but I hate what they're doing. We are to avoid the appearance of evil, even in doing good. We've got to be aware of what it looks like. Do not allow your good to be evil spoken of. And understand this, evil will constantly work to open up with you a line of communication. Okay, has that happened in your life? Okay, I'm ringing the bell right now. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, you say, preacher, nope, everybody that I'm letting have influence on me and my family, you know what? They love the Lord, they're serving the Lord, they're faithful to the Lord, they're not perfect people, but they're on, all right, good, good. Keep doing that. But I promise you, in the hearts of some people in this room, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, don't sit there and get mad at the preacher. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Well, they're my friends. They're not your friends if they're dragging you away from the Lord. Okay? Don't give me that, they're my friends. They're not your friends. You don't understand what the Bible teaches us about friendship. There's some relationships, some communications that I believe with all my heart, if you'll listen to the Lord and you'll cut those things off, it's going to keep you in the will of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible, and thank you for how it protects us, the discretion, discernment it gives us. So, Lord, as we want to remain simple concerning the details, many of the sordid details concerning evil activity, thank you that you've given us in the Bible some things that we do need to know about evil. And, Lord, as we conclude this message next Wednesday, I pray, Lord, that you'll help our church, protect our church, watch over our church. Lord, keep couples married and keep young people in the will of God. And Lord, keep people serving the Lord. And Lord, we don't need any more casualties. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd watch over and protect us in Jesus' name.